We believe that before the end of the hour, we'll have an official statement from U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid's office on the latest arrest in Macomb County. We're just awaiting arrival of the release on the arrest of Cliff Freitas, the trustee in Macomb Township, so we know what charges were filed. At any rate, that's coming up. Now, the legislature is not in session until after the elections, okay? They're on their break to run for re-election, and that's normal. Happens every 2 years. But that didn't stop one legislator from introducing a bill that had no chance of gaining any traction whatsoever before the legislature went on the election break. It's House Bill 5996, and it is a bill to once again outlaw assault weapons here in Michigan. When you really think about it, any weapon's an assault weapon. I assaulted pheasants with my weapon over the weekend, very successfully, I might add. John Lott, the economist, political commentator, gun rights advocate, columnist at FoxNews.com, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, most recently wrote The War on Guns. I don't know whether you saw what they were doing up in the Michigan legislature, this Democratic Representative Robert Wittenberg of Oak Park. But here we go again. Assault weapons. I'm still waiting to hear what an assault weapon is. John, do you own one of those?
Well, I think almost everybody's going to who owns a gun is going to likely find they own one, given this definition, because most people own semi-automatic guns, and they're defining as an assault weapon as is a semi-automatic gun that's able to take a magazine that can hold 10 bullets or more. And the problem is, as I say, most guns are owned by Americans are semi-automatics. Plus, any gun that can take a magazine can take a magazine of any size. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to go and say we'll only ban those semi-autos that can take a magazine of 10 bullets or less, because they can all. Once you can take a magazine, there's no limit on the size of the magazine that you can attach to the gun. So either it was very sly of them or what have you, because they could just say, look, if you can take a magazine, then we'll ban it.
It was pointed out by the folks at Michigan Open Carry that among the things that this bill would ban are barrel shrouds, which are defined as a covering that substantially or completely encircles the barrel of a firearm that allows the bearer of the firearm to hold the barrel with the non-shooting hand while firing the firearm without burning that hand. So right. if you don't want to burn your hand, we're gonna send you to jail.
Right.
I mean, this borders on the ludicrous after a while, doesn't it? A muzzle compensator is defined as something attached to the muzzle that utilizes escaping gas to control muzzle movement. So that we don't have stray bullets going around, I guess. I have no idea why. This baffles me.
Yeah. Well, either these guys don't have a clue about guns, which wouldn't be the first time that's happened, or they're just being very sly and using terms that, sound scary or something, but would end up banning, essentially all semi-automatic rifles.
Is there a problem in calling them semi-automatic? Do you think the people who are not familiar with weaponry we're not going to get everybody to go out and suddenly learn all about guns and what is an automatic,
right.
What's a semi-automatic, right, John? So how do we better explain it as gun owners to people who just see the story and read the headline and go, yeah, I'm for that. We don't want that gun out there in somebody's hands. You could shoot a whole theater full of people with that.
Right. Well, I'm not really sure what's the best approach. Just to explain to people, there's three different types of guns that exist. One is an automatic or machine gun, where one pull the trigger, as long as you keep it pulled, bullets will come out of the gun.
Which is illegal. They're already illegal.
Well, it's extremely strictly regulated, and there's only a certain number that are allowed in the United States. But none of the crimes that we talk about have used a machine gun to commit them. I know the media often gets them confused, but these are not something that's been used in even one of the mass public shootings that we could talk about. And the second type of gun is the semi-automatic, which basically means one pull of the trigger, one bullet comes out, and then it reloads itself. One pull of the trigger, one bullet comes out, and so on. And then the third type is manually loaded guns. Now, if you're going to ban all semi-automatic guns, that poses a real safety issue for a lot of people, because if you have a manually loaded gun, it takes time for you to physically put another bullet in the chamber of the gun yourself. And if you have two people who break into your home, or if you fire a shot and you miss, you may not have the luxury of having time to go and manually load your gun to be able to go and fire another shot.
Indeed. All right. So Michigan is not alone in this effort that we're seeing. It's going on across the country.
Right.
And who knows what would happen nationally, depending on the election results 2 weeks from today. I want to come back, cover all that with you. Can you stay with me a couple minutes here, John?
Sure.
All right. I got to take a quick break. Then we'll do traffic and weather. We'll come back with John Lott to talk more about this issue, which is hot on everyone's minds heading toward November the 8th. We now have the official press release from Barb McQuaid, the U.S. attorney here in Detroit, on the arrest of the Macomb Township trustee, Jeffrey Freitas. He is charged with demanding and taking bribes. 43 years old, Macomb Township, did I say Jeffrey Clifford Freitas? I'm sorry. It's part of an ongoing, long-running investigation into systemic corruption in multiple municipalities in southeast Michigan, primarily Macomb County. The investigation involves wiretaps, consensual audio and video recordings, which means somebody was wired up, undercover operations, surveillance, etc. He got $7,500 in return for helping to get a contract, according to the complaint. And then after he got bid information on a municipal contract for a vendor, he apparently helped that vendor beat out competing contractors by leaking the lowest bid to the vendor, and the vendor was awarded the contract. Then Freitas turned around and demanded another $35,000 from the company for additional assistance as a public official relating to the contract. He got, in May of 2016, according to the complaint, $2,000 in cash from an undercover FBI agent, and the payment was recorded on that video. There you have it. That's the story we broke at the top of the hour. Now we have more details on it. Dick Hafner will have a lot more as the day goes on here on WJR. We're talking to John Lott, the economist, the gun rights advocate, author of The War on Guns, and we've been talking about this this effort in Michigan to ban, quote, assault weapons that was introduced by state Democrats just before the legislature went on break for the election. So it was, the whole thing was DOA. And then some are saying it was just a political stunt. The problem is, John, this is being done across the country by Democrats in other states too, isn't it?
Yeah, no, and there are a lot of states from Georgia to California that have virtually similar bills that have been put up. And, you know, there are a number of states where it's held hearings and, you know, it's gotten close to passage, as in California. It would end up banning most guns that are owned by Americans. You know, this election, I don't think either the First or the Second Amendment have been as threatened as they are. Hillary Clinton has promised to appoint justices to the Supreme Court who would overturn the Heller decision, which struck down D.C.'s gun ban. And the only thing that it did was say that the government could not completely ban all guns or completely ban an entire category of guns. And you have, I'm sure, if she gets elected, because it's a 4-4 tie right now in the Supreme Court, whoever appoints Antonin Scalia's replacement, he died earlier this year, will break that tie. Places like Washington, D.C. would again quickly ban guns, but you also have places like California. Since 2001, California has banned the sale of over 1,200 different models of handguns. There's literally only a dozen models of handguns that can legally be sold in the state of California because they have so-called safety regulations. Can you drop a handgun 60 feet onto cement and not have the gun be damaged? You know, completely ridiculous safety regulations that are there. And in a few years, the 12 guns that are grandfathered in will be banned also. And so if Hillary wins and appoints the person that she's promised to the Supreme Court, I'm sure they would say that California's ban on handguns is fine. If Trump wins and appoints the type of people that he's talked about appointing, then that complete ban on all handguns in California would be struck down.
Yeah, see, call me a cynic, but I don't believe for a moment she believes in the gun rights that have been held up or upheld by the Second Amendment and Supreme Court rulings at this point. I just don't believe it. I don't.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you're right. Look, I mean, we have recordings that have come out where she's talked at private fundraisers, where she's promised to overturn the Heller decision. We have the WikiLeaks, where she's been talking about using a large range of executive actions and during her first 100 days with regard to guns. It's very clear the types of rules that she's putting forward would make it much more costly for law-abiding citizens to build their own guns. And I think a lot of poor individuals, poor minorities who want to go and get guns for self-defense are going to find themselves quickly priced out of being able to own guns.
Yeah, Kurt in White Lake, quick question for John Lott. Good morning, Kurt.
Yeah, John, I just want to reiterate that the original intent for firearms was not necessarily for personal protection because everybody carried them. It was incursions against the government. They carried, you know, 6-pound cannons in their front yard, you know, the chamber cannons in their personal residence. It was all about keeping large amount of troops from incursion on people's property and their rights. And, you know, you see nowadays where the government is passing all these laws across the country, and the emails, like you said, leaked out, you know, are very clear. The government has this intent. So, you know, once they get their foot in the door, they have a precedent, and it just continues from there.
Well, I mean, I don't think you should minimize the notion that people could go and use guns for self-defense of their person or their family. I mean, I think that was an important contributor there. The Constitution that we had for the United States was the first written Constitution in the world. And the people who wrote it wanted to, or figured people would read it. And so in different places in the Constitution, they would kind of explain what their reasonings were for things. And we had just fought the American Revolution. And so that was something on their minds. And they put that in there, the free state. Part of the Second Amendment, but that doesn't mean it was limited to that. And I think the Supreme Court decision in Heller that Hillary Clinton wants to overturn made it pretty clear. If you want to read it, you can get Antonin Scalia's view on the history there, where he goes through in depth about the notion of self-defense. And if you look at surveys now, the vast majority of people own guns in order to go and protect themselves. I mean, one just needs to read the newspapers from Detroit on a regular basis to see how frequently law-abiding citizens find it necessary to go and defend themselves. And if my research convinces me of anything, it's the most vulnerable people in our society who benefit the most from being able to own guns. There's two groups of people who benefit the most, people who are relatively weaker physically, women and the elderly. When you're talking about a young male who's usually the type of criminal that you have attacking a female victim, there's a lot larger strength difference there than there is between a male attacking another male.
John,
and the second,
go ahead, John. Sorry. Go ahead.
And the second group of people who benefit the most are the most likely victims of violent crime. That overwhelmingly tends to be poor blacks who live in high crime urban areas. Police are extremely important. But the police themselves understand that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's committed.
Absolutely. That's why our police chief, James Craig, urges people to arm themselves for defense. And, you know, of course, you safely keep the weapons, but you have it there to defend yourself. John Lott, always a pleasure to have you on. People can go to the Crime Prevention Research Center website for a lot more information where you're the president. I really appreciate it, John. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.